Our scripture today is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern and love of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, you may be seated. I grew up in church, and my parents brought me to church, and we were in service together. We sat as a family, and it's interesting that these two subjects are colliding this morning. There's Mother's Day, and then there's the series we're doing on the Holy Spirit. We would listen to the sermon or whoever was speaking during the service, and inevitably, my mom would think that something was said was important for us. I don't know if y'all had moms like this. But we would get maybe a poke or a pinch or a grunt or a mm-hmm, you know. And sometimes even a lean forward and look down the aisle and a stare. Now, those weren't always helpful. I don't know if y'all had that experience, but not always helpful. She was usually right. But we had a saying in our home. We called her, my mom's first name is Hannah. We called her Holy Spirit Hannah because she somehow had this real divine connection with the Holy Spirit, and she wanted to let us know about it. Now, my prayer is not that you would get a prod from your mom this morning, but that you would get a touch, a word, an impression from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, Paul is writing to us, and I'm going to focus on this key verse in the middle of our text this morning. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Paul here is writing from prison. He has been in prison in Rome, and he's writing to, quote, my beloved child, or my dearly loved son, Timothy. He's kind of reminding him, Timothy, I don't know if you remember this, but the reason you're in the faith is I preach the gospel to you. That's kind of a good little nod, you know, a little nudge there. He's giving a little prod there. Don't forget me, Timothy, I'm your dad, right? I'm your spiritual daddy, right? That's what he's saying. And so he's looking at him and says, look, Timothy, For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I run into resistance, when I run into trials, I have a tendency to back off, to be disoriented. If somebody pops me, I kind of have to get my head about me. I was watching one of our members in a boxing match last night. I got some video footage of it. And I was just thinking, man, if somebody hits me, I'm going to be disoriented. And Paul had been hit. He'd been put in prison. What I love about this is that no matter what Paul faced, he took the circumstances he was in and he turned it. How can I leverage this for the glory of God? Now, I mean, Paul has been traveling all over the known world, preaching the gospel, doing miracles, signs and wonders, suffering, like the good and the bad. And then the enemy puts him in prison. You know what he does? He writes the Bible. It's like, oh, okay, I don't have anything to do. In fact, I wonder if God was like, look, man, you got to slow down. I need you to write some of this down. I'm going to put you in prison for a while. Now write this down, you know. And that's what we get this morning. We get the letters of a man in prison. In fact, at the end of this letter, he says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. I know that my end is coming soon. And Timothy, his childhood, this is an intimate letter between a spiritual father and a spiritual son. What does he say? He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame. Now, the word remember here is in these four, there's like five verses in this intro paragraph that we read this morning. Remember is mentioned four times in five verses. Now, I was writing Mother's Day cards. Y'all do that on Mother's Day? Y'all write a Mother's Day card? You try to use new words, right? Like, you are amazing and wonderful. And so loving. You know, you're trying to think of all your synonym. Not Paul. Remember, 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 remember. He's kind of getting nostalgic in his old age. And he's like, look, guys, Timothy, I want you to remember. Now, many times we think we need a fresh word. We think, hey, I'm in this season, God. I need a word from you. What's coming ahead? God, can you give me a word? And here's the word for us this morning. Remember. Remember where you were. Remember who you are. Remember what he's done. Remember the sin that Jesus has forgiven in your life. Wouldn't we do good to remember that? Remember your shortcomings and failures that need to be forgiven. Remember to treat others how you want to be treated. Your situation will change. When you're on top of the world, it's easy to be confident, isn't it? But remember that we go through hills and valleys. Remember that you needed grace and patience and forgiveness just like everyone else. Remember when Jesus opened your heart and mind to the good news of the gospel? If you put faith in him, that was a miracle. Remember that. Remember when the Holy Spirit fell on you in your hour of need? Remember his provision when you needed a miracle? Remember that time you were healed by the power of God? Those times early in your faith, in your journey, when you turned off your screens and you spent hours with God because you needed him. The Apostle John to the church at Ephesus says this. This is the same church that Timothy is pastoring in this passage. He says, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, the height for which you've fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Remember what you did to stir up your faith. Sometimes I just want to say, take a moment and think about when you grew the most in God. Now, what was the recipe? Most of the time, it's like, I was going through trials. Now, if we know that trials don't make us mature. Because if that was the case, the whole world would be mature, amen? This church would be the most mature church. Because we all have gone through trials. But it's in the trial that we put our phone down and we prayed. It's in the trial that we called a friend and said, pray for me. It's in the trial we showed up with pen and paper to take notes at the sermon because God might be speaking a word to me. But when we don't have a trial, we're just like this, chilling. Just receive, brother. But when you're in a trial, you're like, y'all be quiet. Give me that podcast, right? We're hungry for the word. The Apostle Peter, in his second epistle, he says, look, I stir you up by way of reminder. As long as I'm in the flesh of this body, I'm going to remind you. There is a remembrance that we need this morning. And Paul is saying to Timothy, look, if you're going to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands, then you better remember how it came. What does the Holy Spirit want you to remember this morning? What part of your journey have you forgotten? What has God spoken to you in the past that you have forgotten and need to be reminded this morning? What aspect of the gospel have you forgotten? I don't know about you, but the gospel is a wealth of knowledge and revelation and power. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. Have you forgotten that you are more wicked and sinful than you ever imagined and more loved and accepted than you ever dared hoped at the same time? Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten it wasn't that you were good that God loved you, but because he's good? Have you forgotten that what we are right with God this morning because of what Jesus did, not based on what you do? That's the good news of the gospel. Have we forgotten that the way up in the kingdom is down? The way to be great is to serve. We think that to be great is to have more followers and more service to us. But Jesus said, if you want to be great, serve the world. Serve the least of these. Have we forgotten the good news of the kingdom? We are paupers in the kingdom and sons and daughters for his glory. Don't forget this morning. Second thing we see is that you have received something from others to pass on. For this reason, he says, I'm reminding you to fan in the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You first had a sincere faith, your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Praise the Lord for grandmas, amen? And moms. See, Timothy, scholars believe probably that Lois comes to faith, the grandma first. She comes home and brings Eunice along, who brings Timothy along. And it's a generational, in fact, Beth hit on this. This is a generational faith. Moms, let me just encourage you this morning. Raising your kids in the community of faith, praying for them. Praying for those who are far away to be brought near. Being present with your grandkids is the front lines of the kingdom of God. It's not a secondary calling. And I know the world wants to say, well, the accolades of the world first and then family second. And that's not the call of God. Amen? What you're doing at home, as you are following Jesus and being transformed, transforming lives, transforming the world, your transformation is going to radiate into your home. They're going to notice mom's a little different today. Grandma's coming with a word of faith, right? Something switched. There was used to be this word of fear. Now there's a word of faith. They're wanting to know about that. Amen? You have received something from others, now pass it on. He ends this passage that we read this morning, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Guard it. Now think of this. Think of a chain, links of a chain bound together. when we talk about our faith, my faith, your faith, and that is so true, right? It's got to be your faith. It can't be my faith. We have to believe. We have to trust. But there are these links of chains because there's something greater than just your faith. There's the faith. We believe something that's been passed down. Amen? I am in the faith today because my parents put their faith in Christ and passed that faith to me. I remember my mom getting baptized in the YMCA pool. Amen? I remember my father talking about his father, talking about his mother who had the faith passed down to them. I remember sitting on my knees with my grandfather praying. He was a Gideon. He passed out Bibles, you know. He would pray for us. It was a faith passed down. We have received a faith, amen? How will we pass it along to the next generation? That's a challenge to us, is it not? What we've received, let's pass it on. I am in this church, and some of us, maybe we are first-generation believers. Maybe you are the first one in your family that you know of that have put their faith in Christ. Praise God for you. You get to start the line, amen? But let me tell you this, it didn't start with you. Someone shared the gospel with you. I am in this church because this church and because of a faith and a bold faith to preach the gospel to those outside these walls. A passion for young people. I am a leader in this church because of the legacy of discipleship and lots of patience and time, right? We've been passed on something. Will we pass it on? We've received. Will we pass it on? Right after this passage, in two verses, a couple verses later, it says this: the things that you have heard from me, Paul speaking to Timothy, the things that you've heard from me to Timothy, these entrust to reliable men who will be able to teach others also. Four generations of men following after Jesus. What you've received, pass it along. And what we're not talking about is a book. We're not talking about information. We're talking about an embodied lifestyle where the gospel's transformed us. Book is great. The book in you is what people are reading. Do we see ourselves as a part of a series or a short? See, I love the Marvel series, right? There's a lot of stories going on. They intertwine. Or do you see yourselves as maybe those old Pixar movies with yellow short right before the movie? Like, just this nice, neat narrative. It started and finished in about 5 minutes. Is that how you see your life? Or do you see that there's a bigger story that God's telling? There's a series going on. Is this a movie or a series? It's a long series, about 2,000 years worth. And about 2,000 before that, because God's telling a bigger story, we get to play a part in that. We've received it. Now, will we pass it on? Finally, there is more of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. There is more of the Holy Spirit. There is more of the Holy Spirit. There is more of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit grows. The Holy Spirit is God. He is God, the Spirit. But there's more of Him that you need to know about. I think about my wife, Michelle. I told her I wasn't going to embarrass her too much. Didn't she do a great job, her and Beth? Wasn't that a good word this morning? Now, if you don't know Michelle, you're like, man, she's quiet. She's really nice. She's sweet. And she is those things. If she's a mental health counselor, you can kind of hear it, man. She's caring. She's empathetic. kind of comes out of her. She's also hilarious, very witty, irreverent at times. She's got great hand-eye coordination. I don't know, but you know about this, man. Most of the things I throw her, she catches. You know, because sometimes you just want to test, you know. You know, she catches most of it. Every once in a while, she get upset at me. I wasn't ready for that. She did color guard in high school. They travel, so she's good with her hands. She likes to remind me, hey, there's this trendy thing out now on social media. I don't think it's real, but it says that all of your athletic ability comes from your mom. Have y'all heard this? I don't know. I think it's propaganda. But look, she's bringing it up. She's bringing it up. She reminds my son almost every day, I think. Now, we're not saying, see, here's the thing. You might know Michelle from, in fact, one of her friends called her up this week and says, my son doesn't believe you're hilarious. I have you on speaker, you know. I want you to talk. She's like, I think most of the things we say are not appropriate for your son, you know. See, that's wisdom. Everybody needs a woman of wisdom, right? Discernment, the Bible says. Now, here's the thing. You might know her from a distance and think she's this way. When you get closer to her, she's not becoming any more than she already is. You're just getting to know who she is. See, there is more of the Spirit, not because he's withholding from you. You have all of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you. But you don't know him like you should. There is more available to you. Why did Paul lay his hands on Timothy? Some think that this is maybe the ordination service. He references it in 1 Timothy 4. But why lay hands? Because, Timothy, there's something you're going to need for what God's called you to do. See, when we laid hands on you, something was imparted, a gift, which was given through the laying on of my hands. Now, you had all of the Spirit, but there was an impartation of a gift. See, this is what I love about the Spirit. He comes with gifts. When you get the Spirit, you get all of the Spirit. And he will give you gifts. He comes with power. This is what Jesus said about the Spirit. When you receive the Spirit, you'll receive some power. You will receive, Acts 1:8, power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I wonder how many of us believe that. Say power this morning.
Power.
You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why are we nervous about that? Imagine Jesus wants to give or send the third person of the Trinity, God himself, the Holy Spirit, and we think there's no practical advantage for the Holy Spirit to be in us. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What advantage do you have that the Spirit lives in you? What advantage do you have that the Spirit lives inside of you? It's better that I go. We talked about that last week. It's to your advantage that Jesus isn't here, but God's Spirit lives in you. What advantage is that? According to the Scripture, it's one of power. I haven't given you a spirit of fear. This word fear actually is the only time this noun is used in all of the New Testament. I haven't given you. And if you dig down, this word outside of the New Testament in the Greek basically means cowardice. He's saying, Timothy, that tendency in you to run and hide, that tendency for you to see me in prison and think this might be your destiny as well, so maybe you need to shrink back and consider your partnerships. He said, no, don't do it. God hasn't given you cowardice. He hasn't put a spirit of cowardice in you. He's put a spirit of power. There are encounters with God Paul lays his hands on Timothy. He was referring to a moment. A moment when Paul laid his hands on Timothy that he could recollect. Remember when I put my hands on you and the Spirit of God came in you and parted a gift? I don't think Timothy was like, when was that? I think he knew. Because there's more of the Spirit. Amen? There are encounters with God. Philip went down to Samaria, preached the gospel to the Samaritans. They believed and were baptized. And he calls up Peter and John and says, look, come down here because the Holy Spirit has not come upon them like he came upon us. Peter and John showed up, lay hands on the believers, and the power of God comes so powerfully on them that sorcerers are watching what's happening and come up to Peter and pull out some money and say, look, give me this power. There is power. There are encounters with God. Paul has an encounter with the Holy Spirit on the road of Damascus. God blinds him and sends him in, and he sits by himself waiting for 3 days fasting. The Holy Spirit comes by dream to Ananias and says, I want you to go to this man, Peter. He shows up. He says, I have come that you might receive your sight and receive the Holy Spirit. And he laid his hands on him. There are encounters with God. Scales fell from his eyes. Peter was preaching in the book of Acts in chapter 10 in Cornelius' house. He'd gathered all that he knew. He says, look, I had a vision. This man's going to come and tell us about Jesus. Everybody come in. And as Peter is preaching, the power of God shows up in the room and people started speaking in tongues and prophesying. And Peter looks and says, can I withhold the water from these Gentiles who have received the Spirit just as we have? There are encounters with God. Acts chapter 19, in this city that Paul is writing to Timothy, the city of Ephesus, he says this, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? And then he laid his hands on them once they had been born again, and the Spirit of God came on them. There are encounters with God. What advantage do you have that the Spirit of God lives in you? There are gifts. Evidently, we don't know, and I think purposefully, God says, I'm not even going to tell you the gift I gave Timothy because it doesn't matter. I've given him a gift, and I've given you a gift. Have you received the gift of the Spirit? Will you fan it into flame? Will you breathe on it? Kindle it afresh, one translation says. It takes work to get this thing going. I've provided the heat. You've let it kind of dwindle down. Will you fan it to flame again, the gift of God that's been given to you? Well, I'm just going to wait. Well, waiting's good if waiting invites the Spirit along with you. If your waiting means prayer. If your waiting means a posture of expectation. That's good. But passively waiting, that fire will burn out. Power is what you need when what you have isn't enough. Power is what you need when what you have isn't enough. Why did God give you power? Because you needed power outside of yourself. Y'all remember Mario Brothers? You needed that power up? I needed that shroom. I needed that star. I needed that fire thing. That flower. I needed that tail. I needed to fly. I needed something to give me what I didn't have. There is power available to you by the Holy Spirit that you do not have within yourself that you need from God. You have not received a spirit of fear, but you have received a spirit of power. Power is something we receive from God when we need more than what we have. 1 Timothy 4, in the previous book to Timothy, he says, do not neglect. It's almost like he's repeating the same thing in a different way. Do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. It's funny that when he describes the Spirit here, he says this, you haven't received a spirit of cowardice, fear. This isn't like anxiety. This isn't like I'm afraid of like heights or public speaking or death. This is a fear to remain going forward. Because that's what happens, right? You start walking forward in your faith. You start stepping out. And here's the enemy pounding you with discouragement and fear so that you'll give up. But look, here's the good news. You haven't received a spirit that gives up. The spirit never gives up. Love never fails. And God is love. And so he is never giving up on you. You haven't received a spirit that says, he fell too many times. That's not in God's vocabulary. He is going after you. Look at what Peter, is it seven times I got to forgive Jesus? I love that, man. He's like, he's been counting. Thomas, that doubter, it's three. He gets to seven. Jesus, is it seven? 70 times seven. How much more the Father of lights, whom there is no shifting shadow, would look at us? Do you think he's counting? That's eight. He told you to forgive 70 times seven. You don't think he's going to forgive? He never gives up. He's not a coward. He's going after you. You have received not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. I love that. Have y'all thought about that? That's the sandwiching of the spiritual gifts. The spiritual fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And at the end is self-control. He's like, all of it. He's basically saying you get the power and you get the fruit. You get all of it. Well, I don't have a lot of love. Well, join the club. I find myself at Great Reservoir where it's almost like my dogs in the backyard who we hadn't filled up their water long enough. They just kind of tip it over and look at the window. They take the whole, we got a 5-gallon bucket. They'll just knock it over and look at me like, that's what I feel. I'm out of love, Lord. He said, well, I've got a streams that flow, baby, that never run dry. A spirit of power and love. And self-control, or sound mind, one version says. See, these things come from God. What advantage do you have that the Spirit lives in you? Much in every way. Do you need power this morning for your situation? You serve a God of power who lives inside of you. Do you need power to resist? How about some self-control? He's the God of self-control. Do you need love to love the unlovely? He is a God of love. He is love. He's demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were sinners and enemies, he died for us. Yeah. We have received a spirit, not of cowardice, but of power, love, self-control. What do you need this morning that can't be found in God, his Spirit? Nothing. I don't know about you, but I need to throw myself on the Spirit of God. God, I need you. I don't have the love that I want to have. I mean, I'm not talking about loving my enemies. I'm talking about loving my friends. I mean, anybody else? Loving those in my own home. We need God, amen? We need the Spirit of God, and to tap into him, this relationship with God's Spirit that we're called to walk with. We've received not a spirit of fear, but power, love, and of sound mind, self-control. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins and for sins of the whole world, we didn't just do that to take us to heaven. And I want us to emphasize that. Look, Jesus died for us this morning, but not to take us to heaven, to unite us in God by the Spirit. I am in him, and he is in me, and you are in me by the Spirit to pull you in. He wants you to know him. He did it to unite us to himself by the Holy Spirit. Relationship with God means communication. Think about your good relationships. Communication. Experiences, shared moments, friendship, vulnerability, contributing to each other, interaction. This is the invitation this morning that you might have a relationship with God's Spirit. More of God to impart His Holy Spirit. As we close this morning, have you received the Spirit of God? Are you tapping into the power available to you? Are you tapping into the love available to you? Are you tapping into the self-control and the sound thinking available to you? You haven't received the spirit of fear. You've received a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of self-control. In this present age, not just the age to come, are you tempted to shrink back this morning? I just want to say, you're in good company. I don't know anybody who hasn't been tempted to shrink back. Jesus was tempted. You've read the temptations of Jesus? Pretty serious. This is not your purpose. He's given you of His Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that you have torn the veil at the cross so that we might have access to God by His Spirit, available to every believer, living inside everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. I just want to have a moment this morning where we respond to the Holy Spirit. Maybe He, like my mom, gave you a little poke this morning. Said, that's you. You need to hear that. I'm talking to you this morning. If God spoke something to you this morning that you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life, you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. All over this room. Father, you see these hands. They've responded to you this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd meet them. Just out of your own mouth, say, Father, give me more of your Spirit. I want more of you, Holy Spirit, in my life. More interaction, more communication, more reception. I need you. Fill me with your Spirit. That you go away so that we might have the Spirit, the Helper, the Advocate, the one called alongside to help us. Lord, I pray that every person in this building this morning, Lord, would have a deeper relationship with the Spirit of God. Lord, that we would pray. We would give room for you. We wouldn't limit you to a quiet time, but we'd walk with you throughout the day. That we would expect more from God. Lord, we would expect more from you. Raise our expectation. Raise our faith and trust in you, Lord. Nothing is impossible for you. Lord, for those of us in this room who are maybe on the brink of turning back, Lord, I pray that you would stand by their side. You will never give up. You will never give up. You will never give up on us, Lord. Lord, I pray that they would know your presence this morning. That you are with them. Lord, they would stop trusting in their own ability, their own intellect, their own good behavior, and they would lean on the breast of Jesus. You would embrace them, Father. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Let's stand to our feet as we close. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for joining us online. If you need prayer or ministry this morning, we have some ministry team members that would love to stand with you in prayer. For all our moms, thank you for being here. I hope this was special for you this morning. Our overflow coffee folks will be in the lobby. Amen. So if you weren't able to get a little something, they're going to be out there after church to serve us. Thank you guys so much. You guys have an amazing day. We'll see you this Wednesday for worship night. Come and join us.